Okay, Wendy, the recording is in process.
Yep.
We're rocking in the free world. It is October 9th when we're doing this podcast. Wendy, how are you doing?
Doing really good. Having a great week. Sorry about that. Alabama, you know, hey, how can you have a bad week when we win?
Pavia goes down. If you haven't listened to this show, this is For the Wendy. I'm Trey Davis. This is my sister, Wendy. You can get this on podcast, Apple Podcast, and it goes out to Spotify, too. We appreciate everybody that's listening. Wendy had a big weekend last weekend. Wendy had a chance to go to T-Town and visit Maylee, her roommates. Had a fabulous time, Wendy. Tell me what's up with visiting the Capstone.
Well, we were able to go down. Maylee's got a place down there. Maylee, Zoe, Anya, some of her roommates. And great place, really close to the stadium. So we were able to all meet there, hang out. We went to a little bit of game day with the boys. The boys wanted to go see that. So we kind of caught the, last 15 minutes of game day.
We caught the picks,
Yep. Then we went to the sorority house to eat, which was great. Air conditioning, clean bathrooms. Couldn't have been at a better time. It was hot on Saturday. If you were in the shade, it was okay. But if you're in that sun, it was still hot down there. And then just was able to spend some good quality time. Want to give a big shout out real quick to Justin and Joyce from Pensacola. That is Zoe's parents. You met Zoe, Maylee's roommate.
Yes.
And I met them last year at the parents' dinner, I guess is what we call it. But anyway, told them about our show. Justin listens every week. So Justin, big shout out to you. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon. Hopefully at the Tennessee game, we'll all see each other. But thank y'all for always listening. Zoe says you really enjoy it. So we appreciate you and love your daughter. Your daughter is the sweetest thing in the world. So just I had a really great time. And then Trey, you guys went to the game. We didn't go to the game.
We went to the game. Yeah, Zoe hooked it up. I mean, we had a table waiting for us.
Yes.
Zoe and Maylee, all of her friends really know what they're doing. They put everything in the right place. It was
the parking. Zoe moved her car for parking.
Parking was great. I mean, it all matched up great. Can't thank them enough. Justin, what's up? We're glad y'all are listening. Wendy, we did go to the game. We went to the football game. Me, wife, kids all went. We had to get tickets on StubHub or SeatGeek, whatever we got them. You know, and it was like back in the day, you would just kind of ask around for tickets and people would give you tickets. And like, wasn't a big deal. Now, it's just maybe I'm out of the loop, but just not that way. We got SeatGeek, but we got it up in the Alabama side. We got them up in the upper deck in the shade. So we've been to enough football games to know that that place was going to be pretty sunny the whole game. We sat in the shade, had a great time. The 11-year-old basically likes to boo. He's in the stage of boo, where it's like Vanderbilt runs out, it's boo. The referee made a bad call, it's boo. The little one is asking me all kind of questions, but we're cheering. We're spelling the B-A-M-A. So it did all the things, Wendy. Great atmosphere in there. It was pretty rocking and rolling the whole time, Wendy. And I think at some point we're going to get Nacho on this podcast. So if we sound a little disjointed, we couldn't figure out, do we bring Nacho on because we're going to talk about Alabama, or do we go ahead and just get through all the other games and talk about Alabama later?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I always say bring them on so if they've got stuff to do, they can go do it. Or we can just wait kind of till the end, get through. There wasn't that many good games. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a packed full weekend of just crazy games.
All right, let's do this real quick, Wendy. Penn State gets beat by UCLA in the biggest upset of the day. Penn State's a joke. We've always said they're a joke, and they still are. Oklahoma. Now, y'all have heard me bring up Oklahoma before. I don't know. They might have been playing Kent State or whoever they were playing. But if you saw Oklahoma play football this weekend, it was a clip that went viral. Oklahoma has a receiver that caught a pass going out of the back of the end zone and about cuts himself in half on a brick wall 10 yards from the end zone.
Yeah,
I've said it on this podcast. Somebody's going to get hurt at Oklahoma because these stands and these barricades are right by the field. You better do something about it because one of your players, and I'm not sure the injury status of the guy, but it looked like it cut the guy in half.
Yeah, it was bad.
So Oklahoma, put a pad on the wall or put somebody there around to be like, hey, if their players come and make sure you protect them from it, Wendy, getting people decapitated on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Mississippi
it's not
State,
funny.
Yeah, Mississippi State, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
A&M ends up pulling away late. Mississippi State still hung in that game. I don't know what it is about watching Mississippi State, Wendy. Every time I watch Mississippi State play football, it looks like they're hitting incredibly hard.
Yes. Yeah, this year for
sure. I don't know if it's their team, their uniforms, but I'm like, every time I watch the Mississippi State Bulldogs play, it is like they are cracking it out there. A&M pulls away late.
Well, hold on. You watched A&M because we all know you cannot stand to watch A&M. Is this just an update you got, or you actually watched the game?
Yeah, when we got home from traffic, we got home about 8 o'clock, so we ended up and the A&M State game was a close game.
It was.
And as soon as I turned it on, A&M turned on the gas and blew them out. So I watched maybe 10 or 15 plays of the game, Wendy.
Okay, because, you know, you can't stand to watch A&M.
Yeah, A&M, and it looks like they're good, and it looks like we're going to have to start watching A&M, Wendy. The Texas Longhorns.
What'd I say?
The Florida Gators playing Gainesville in the swamp, and here comes Florida.
Yeah.
Florida wins the football game, Wendy.
Okay, I get to say a lot about this one because I've actually started calling some things. So if everybody remembers last week, I said, watch for Florida coming in here, and I'm not sure about Arch Manning, right? Because I'm still not 100% sold on Arch Manning. But I'm going to tell you something. Florida figured out a way to win this game. I mean, I will tell you, Billy Napier, when his job's on the line, mark it up. He's going to start winning ball games. I don't know what it is. Texas looked bad on, to me, Trey, all sides of the ball. I mean, the guy had a few good passes, y'all. I'm not trying to say he played, like, deplorable. But this kid, in my opinion, is not ready for the SEC. I'm not sure he's ready to be playing as the starting quarterback for Texas. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, y'all, or that he can't grow into it. I'm just saying I'm not sure he's ready. In fact, I think Arch Manning's helmet came off or something, and they put in the backup. And I think it was just for one play, but, dude, I'd have kept him in. Like, I'd have kept that backup in. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know what's going on with Texas, but Sarkisian's going to have to start making some pretty hard offensive, you know. He's going to have to decide, do you want to win ball games, or are we going to let this guy who's going to be good next year take over this team and be okay with having a losing season? Because, Trey, I watched him, and I'm not sure they can beat really anybody right now with the way they're playing.
Well, you're probably right, Wendy. Here's the thing that I see with Texas. Now, I did not get to see a lot of this game. It was kind of at the same time we were at the stadium. I did go back and watch some of it. I watched some of the clips of it. But what it looks like to Texas and what we talked about on here before, are these coaches have to figure out who they are, right?
Right.
Every team's a little bit different. Now, the better coaches can figure it out earlier in the year. The better teams can get away with winning some games with not really finding that right combination. And as that season goes, all these really good coaches find out what their teams can and can't do.
Right.
They play to their strengths and they kind of move on. Here's the problem with Texas. I don't think they know who they are.
Right.
I don't think Sark has an idea of the identity of the football team. And I think it's really struggling for Texas to find their identity. I didn't watch the game. I saw Manning throw some really good passes.
I'm not saying he didn't.
I thought he threw some good passes. Texas needs to figure out who they are. And some of that comes with those players inside that locker room.
Right.
Those players inside that locker room have to develop, this is who we are, this is what we're going to be. And Texas just has not found that out. Wendy, we're going to have to talk about that here in a minute. Let's go ahead and bring in a Nacho.
All right, I'm going to let the dogs out while you're doing that.
To talk about the Alabama Vandy game, let's get him in here. And we're live with Nacho. What's up, Nacho?
What it do, baby? Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, man. Roll Tide. I see those panic posters in the back, man. You seen a good show lately or what?
I was in Memphis last weekend.
How'd the boys sound?
They sounded pretty good. The set lists were, but the show's really good. Wendy, what's up?
What's up? I'm so glad you're here. You made it.
Me too.
Wendy, we're talking about widespread panic, and we've listened to him for a long time. Chris, we've talked about this before. As little as widespread panic plays shows, why don't they come out there and just blow it out every time they walk on stage? I don't understand that.
It's a million-dollar question, Trey. Because they can. They can, right? I mean, look, I guess that's what keeps you coming back.
Hey, wasn't there like the most epic show? Didn't Phish and Panic come at the same time to Oak Mountain Amphitheater, or no?
They did years ago. Well, no, not at Oak Mountain. They played together before, but
okay.
But yeah, not at Oak Mountain.
Not at Oak Mountain. Okay. But there was a widespread show at Oak Mountain when Oak Mountain was still a thing, right? I'm not making that up. Okay.
A bunch of them. Yeah.
A bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, widespread at Oak Mountain, and that's Oak Mountain, Alabama, Oak Mountain Amphitheater in Pelham, Alabama, used to be the stop of all stops until it literally became unhinged, and Pelham was like, y'all can't come back here. Different story, different day. Chris, Alabama football, we have waited a little bit to get you on to talk about the Alabama-Vanderbilt game. I attended the game. I've already went through all that. Pavia comes in running that mouth, the guest picker on SEC Network, Theo Vaughn. That's his ride home. Alabama comes out, gives up an early touchdown, and the stadium goes a little bit quiet. Alabama scores, and from then it was on. Alabama does win the football game. I think it was 30-14, if that was
right.
Chris, tell me where you think the Tide's at after the Vanderbilt win.
After the Vanderbilt win, I think we're in a good spot. I don't want us to sleep on Missouri, who's coming up next, but let's stick with this game, right? So I've got five big things that stand out. Cedric Alexander's 65-yard touchdown run, right? That wasn't a run. That was an escape attempt. He made it. I mean, that was serious.
Yep.
Ty Simpson, big interception early, and then he basically turned the ball over to do the math, right? One mistake equals three touchdowns. So he locked it down once that happened. Keon Sabbs, red zone interception. That was less of a turnover, more of a repossession. Jam Miller had a 100-yard game and a touchdown. He was treating Vanderbilt's linebackers like traffic cones, just doing what he wanted to do. The defense in the second half held them to 9 rushing yards.
Yep.
Right? That's less of a line of scrimmage, more of a suggestion at that point.
Right.
And then Justin Jefferson stripped Diego Pavia, right? And he basically just said, this is my ball now.
You right.
So those were the five big key plays to me that stuck out, and they looked good.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And it was the game. It was exciting because it was kind of back and forth. And let's all go back to we got that player back that was the defensive lineman that was out for the first half.
For targeting.
Yeah, number 23. We were talking about it inside the stadium. I don't know if that made a big difference, but it seemed to make a big difference. I think we heard some bandy people come out later that said the reason Vandy threw the ball so much is because the time of possession that Alabama had the ball, it put them kind of behind in the game. There was one quirky thing that happened in the game, and Wendy and Chris, I want to hear what y'all have to say about this, we are up 6 points. Alabama's up 6 points late in the fourth quarter drive in that last drive that we had. Well, we had one more that we scored on, but the last final big drive that we had, it's 3rd and 1, and we're running a quasi-trick play to hand the ball off to Proctor, our tackle, to pick up a yard. How do y'all view that play?
Chris, go ahead.
I mean, look, it's 50-50 for me, right? Because I love it when the big guys get the ball. It amps everybody up. Mm-hmm. And if he scores, I mean, you look like a genius, right? But there's so much that can go wrong there. It's a yard. Just get the yard.
Yeah.
Just get the yard. I mean, we saw it in the Georgia game where they threw to him, and then, you know, he got the first down. That was huge, right? If they're going to integrate him, fine. But let's not have so many points of failure that can happen in the play itself.
Right. And so on my little bit of take on that is I'm with you. It does get the fans hyped up, right? So if everybody's getting a little quiet, a little bit nervous, I mean, that place goes berserk, that momentum change. I think some of it, too, is he's hard to bring down, right? Like this guy, I mean, he's really big. You're going to have, if you look at the play in slow motion, he kind of runs into a group of guys and kind of spins out a little bit and goes off to the side. He's just really hard to take down. And I think in that Georgia situation, and plausibly the Vanderbilt situation, although I think Jim Miller could have done it just as well with Vanderbilt, in Georgia, they were really shutting our run game down at Georgia, right? Like, we weren't really getting anywhere with the run game. So I'm kind of with you. I'm just wondering if they're doing some of it for that loud, that get everybody kind of back in the game. But also, he's so hard to tackle. I'm with you. Things can go wrong, and eventually they will. But I think he's so hard to tackle that, like you said, it's that 50-50, and they're willing to gamble on it. But I want to talk to y'all a little bit about this. One of my really big concerns with Alabama right now is we are now to two games that we have not scored in the second half a touchdown. Now, let me caveat that too. I understand that Jim Miller scored in the last 20 seconds of the game. I guess that counts. What I truly saw is that Vanderbilt thought he was just going to run a couple yards and lay down and let the time run out. I'm not sure that Vanderbilt expected them to run for the touchdown. I'm not sure they were defending it the way they would if they thought that was going to happen, okay? This is very concerning that we're having these prolific first half of ball games, and we're coming out, we're throwing the ball 50, 60 yards, people are catching it, and then we're having to put our kicker out there who's not that good, outside of 40, y'all. Outside of 40, and we're not able to score touchdowns. We did not score a touchdown in the second half of the Georgia game. I know technically we did against Vanderbilt, but y'all, this is a little concerning to me as an Alabama fan. Like, we've got to be able to, we get in the red zone, we get down there, we're going to have to be able to get 7 points, not three. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just, am I the only one that's concerned about this, or is anybody else feeling the way I'm feeling, or?
No, I'm with you. Yeah, it's definitely a concern. You know, if it happens this weekend, we're in trouble because Missouri, that quarterback, and that's a hard place to play. First of all, you know, it's kind of random. It's not in the South really. It's just kind of where it is, mm-hmm. you know, out in the Midwest and kind of in no man's land. And you know, they're Mizzou fans love football. They have a good fan base, tough place to play. And that quarterback can throw the ball. So, we're going to have to score. Yes, it concerns me, but football's football, right? Yeah. You know, adjustments are made at halftime. I think where it takes my mind is at halftime, you also have to change shit up, right?
You can't
just keep doing what worked in the first half and expect it to work because they're going to make adjustments themselves. And I think that's kind of what's happening. But I don't think that will continue to happen. At least
okay.
I hope it
okay.
doesn't.
And when you're watching Alabama, it is like, you know, you used to be like, okay, we're going to run, pop a pass, or we pop passes and then pop a run. This, it's like we're motioning out this way and we're running a screen this way. Then we're running a toss sweep that way. It's hard, which I guess is a good thing if you're wanting to be a little bit more elusive, but it's like, it just doesn't flow good. Like, there's not a flow to it. It's like we're throwing on first down, running on second down. It's just a bizarre, seemingly bizarre way that we play football. Back to the Caden Proctor guy with that run, Wendy. I'm just telling you, we're up 6 points. If the guy fumbles the freaking football and Vanderbilt goes and scores and beats us, it's a major problem.
I don't disagree.
You know, if you got Proctor out there in the Georgia game that we throw the pass to and everybody loves everybody, well, that's with like 50 seconds to go in the first half. We did score a touchdown on that drive.
Right.
And it all worked out. Wendy, I don't know. I think thinking outside the box is probably a good thing. It just makes me a nervous wreck being like, if we get into a big situation, what are we going to do? All right, let's move on to this week, y'all. It is the Alabama Crimson Tide and another headbanger against the Missouri Tigers.
Yep.
Everybody loves Missouri. The game is at 11 o'clock on ABC. I mean, it is the primetime biscuit game, which I love this game for Alabama. We don't have to wait all day. Get up. Let's watch some football. Chris, we'll go with you first. What is your outlook on the ball game in Columbia?
Columbia.
Yeah, like I said, tough place to play, right? I think Bama wins 34-28. Ooh. I think it's a back-and-forth game. you know, the cat's out of the bag with Proctor, right? So if he lines up or he gets there, that's, use him as a decoy now, you know, let go the opposite direction, whatever the case may be, because they're ready for it. But we've got to win the turnover battle, obviously, and I think we'll be fine. You know, it's just a tough place to play.
You like a back and forth game, Wendy. What do you like?
Okay, here, let me say this. Okay,
break it down, Wendy.
I need to break it down. I only have two concerns with the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're not scoring in the second half, and they long balls are getting over our DBs, and that's a concern with this quarterback. Also, Missouri's got one of the best running backs in the entire country. All right, this guy's running for like 700 yards a game. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but it's what I like to do. This kid, we've not done well against the running game in the past two games. So we're going to have to figure this thing out, right? I'm with Chris. We're going to have to score. We're going to have to score often. Do I think we beat Missouri? Yes. Do I think they can hang with us the entire fourth quarter? No. However, I see it as a more low scoring game. I'm going more like Alabama 28, Trey's favorite number. And Missouri like 14, 21, somewhere in there. Here's the thing. If our defense.
You can't take my pick. You Trey, can't. Yeah, you are. You're taking my pick.
Guess who else said 28? Guess who else said 28? Chris Arnold, your best friend since y'all were 7 years old or however old y'all were running around River Chase. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If our defense can play the way they played in the second half against Vanderbilt, in the first half against Missouri, this might look a little bit different than we think. We could be getting on here next Thursday, and it could be a bloodbath. I don't know. I'm just saying, Trey,
Wendy,
wilder things have happened.
I'm with you, Wendy. I knew you were going to dial it back to the 28 like I've been doing 28 all year. I knew that was coming. That's a good one, though.
It is.
I just want you to understand, and all Alabama fans that can hear this right now, Alabama is going to lay the hammer to Missouri this week.
Okay.
Alabama will lay the hammer to Missouri this week. Count it up. Put it down. Missouri hadn't played that many good teams. My initial read on Missouri early in the year is they're not that good of a football team, and I really don't think that they are. I'm not telling you they're bad. That was a gut that I've been wrong a lot.
Yeah.
The one thing that gave me pause is Kansas playing Missouri this year. Kansas was up like 21-7, and then Missouri comes back and beats them by like 20 points. That kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit about Missouri. One guy we haven't brought up in this so far is Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson is playing an incredible football season. This guy is playing next level type football, making great football plays. I love the guy. I really think Alabama opens it up this weekend. And talking about not stopping the run, Chris brought up a good stat. They only had 9 yards against Vanderbilt, only had 9 yards. I know Vanderbilt didn't try to run the ball that much, but maybe Alabama's defense has figured out how to stop this run. I look for a big football game from Alabama. I look for a 14 to 20 point victory. I really do. Alabama should run away with this. And I say run away. It's not going to be 50 to nothing in there. But, I mean, I could definitely see, like a Chris, like maybe a 35-7, 35-14, something like that. So all the Alabama fans out there, get ready to roll tide roll because it's going down.
Well, Chris Arnold, you know what happens when Trey feels real confident, don't you?
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah, we lose. Yeah, Trey, shut up. Don't get on here talking about how easy this is. Listen, okay.
I'm not saying easy. Alabama's good. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't want to. You literally just put the nail in the coffin, in my opinion. I've known you your entire life. Every time you feel good about it, it turns into a crazy game. So, Chris Arnold, I hope you got your liquor. I hope you got your beer because we're gonna need it on Saturday.
We'll see what happens. You know, I'll be drinking.
all right, listen, Chris, stay on here. We're gonna run down these other games real quick.
One more thing, Trey. One more thing about Missouri. Come on.
What you got?
Last week against Vandy, 3 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
3. Wow. And I think that helped with us keeping the game tight, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do that again because if we beat ourselves, we can leave Missouri in the game.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's a good point.
And on the road, we have more penalties.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. That's something that Gina brought up too. Alabama has been a very low penalized team. That is a very good point. All right, let's get down to this. Oklahoma, Texas. What do you think, Wendy? I'm gonna start with you, Chris. Your next.
I don't think Texas has got anything for Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is a better team. I see Oklahoma not only winning but winning by 21 to 27 points. Trey. That you laugh like you listen.
Is Mateer going to play or not? Is Oklahoma's quarterback going to play or not?
It doesn't matter whether he plays or not. They're still going to beat him because Texas ain't it. They ain't it. I'm just telling you.
Nacho, what you got on Oklahoma, Texas?
Rivalry game, Red River Shootout, always close, no matter what. I look for Texas to bounce back here. I do. You know, Oklahoma hasn't. They're decent, but they haven't impressed me much.
Okay.
I mean, look, they beat Auburn.
They beat Michigan.
But we don't know what Auburn is. We still can't figure it out. You know, they give up sacks. We know that.
Yeah.
God, that's
true. But, I mean, if their offensive line could stop somebody, I think Auburn could be in a lot of these games.
Yeah.
That's true. Who do you like to win the game? You think Oklahoma or Texas?
I'm taking Texas. Give me Texas.
Give me Texas. I agree. Oklahoma, really, I think Oklahoma's got a good defense. I think Texas is going to be a problem. Chris, you said it, tight game. Give me the Oklahoma Sooners.
Okay.
I think Oklahoma Sooners, I think they're like mad. I think those boys are playing mad. Arkansas versus Tennessee. The new coach for Arkansas is going to be going to Neyland Stadium, Wendy. Is it Bobby Petrino? Does Bobby Petrino have anything for the Tennessee Vols? Wendy.
Here's what I've noticed. Every time I'll take UCLA as an example, I think it's UCLA, guys. But, like, anytime, like, an interim coach comes in the middle of the season, the very next week, these guys play lights out for this new coach, right? All of a sudden, they're a national championship team. Here's the thing. I can only go off what I saw Tennessee against Mississippi State. Mississippi State really gave Tennessee a run for their money. They had to – that's two games, Georgia and Mississippi State, they had to go to overtime with. Listen, let's not put it past Arkansas to come in here and these boys to say, it was the coach, we can really do this. I'm still going to take Tennessee, but I'm calling for a close game, plausibly overtime as well, but I'm calling for Tennessee to win it.
Plausibly has been brought into the chat, everybody.
Okay, well, it's a bigger word than I'm used to using. Chris, sounds semi-intelligent.
Chris, what do you got?
So I think the first half is close, but Tennessee's going to run with it. It's what the line's like 12.5. I think Tennessee wins by at least 17. But I think the first half's a good game.
And I agree with Wendy. You don't know. Arkansas could come out. And Arkansas's been in most of the games that they've played except for Notre Dame. They got blasted by Notre Dame, Wendy. I still think Tennessee at home, that's what gets Tennessee the victory. Wendy,
Knoxville.
That's right. We got three more. We got to get through them. Florida and A&M. Does Florida do anything against A&M this weekend? Let me figure out where that game is. Chris, you're up first.
No. No, A&M's got it. Florida is going to have a hangover. You know, they're not used to winning, and they want a huge game. Look, we know Florida. Now we know they can do it, right? They know they can do it. Mm-hmm. But A&M's, they're in a good spot right now.
And this is an A&M home game. Every game I've watched A&M play besides Notre Dame has been at home. My God, the people play at home every week. Wendy, A&M or Florida?
Well, boys, let me just go ahead and tell you right now, Texas A&M, per usual, go back and look at them for the last 10 years. They've still got four games to lose, okay? This is Texas A&M's thing. They come in here, they start off strong, a lot like LSU, and then they buck it out at the end of the season. I'm calling Florida. I think that, I don't think Texas A&M is as good as everybody says they are, and I'm calling for Florida to win. I think every single time Billy Napier's job is on the line, Florida figures out how to win, and I'm calling for a big win from Florida. Close game, but I think Florida's going to do it.
You just did that. So, I mean, that it's used up. It's over with. It's
not. Yeah, well, but Texas A&M still has four games to lose.
Yeah, Texas A&M, I mean, I think Texas A&M plays to their competition. I don't think they're one of these. I think they'll play to their competition. Going to be a great game. I'm going to give A&M the win because they're at home. I think A&M continues the role. We're going to save Auburn and Georgia for last. Winnie, real quick, South Carolina, LSU. South Carolina goes to LSU. Can LSU get back up on the horse? Can South Carolina give them a game? We are running out of time. Please make these quick. Winnie goes, South Carolina, LSU.
I mean, I'm pulling for South Carolina. I'm a Shane Beamer fan, but it's probably going to be stupid Brian Kelly winning. But I'm calling for South Carolina. Don't put any money on it. That's what I'm calling.
The LSU minus 9.5. Give me South Carolina plus the points, but LSU comes away with the victory.
There you go.
Oh, South Carolina stays inside the line. I agree. I think LSU is going to cover. I think LSU is going to win this game, no problem. LSU really got hit in the mouth by Ole Miss. They've had a week off. I think LSU comes out mad. They end up scoring a bunch of points. Winnie, we're going to get to the last game. And that is Barry Webb's Georgia Bulldogs travel to the plains of Auburn and the Auburn Football Tigers. The Auburn Football Tigers had a week off last week. Wendy said last week that she didn't think Hugh Freeze would make it through the Georgia game. Well, now the Georgia game is here.
It is here.
We're going to start with Wendy on this one. Wendy, Georgia at Auburn on the plains. What do you got?
Georgia's going to kill them. What do you mean? We don't know if I'm wrong until we see Hugh Freeze walk out of the tunnel. Then we can talk. He may or may not. Y'all never know. But I'm going to tell you right now, Georgia is going to kill them. It's not going to be close. It's going to be a bloodbath, I'm afraid. I know their environment. I know the witchy-woo on the field better than anybody else. But Georgia's mad since they lost to us. And Auburn's going to get the brunt end of it. So I'm calling Georgia by 50.
Vegas is good at what they do, and the line is 4. You know, I don't think it's a blowout. It's always a close game. Georgia wins and pull it. Give me the berries, no doubt. Give me the berries. They're going to pull it off. And Georgia's going to cover, but it's a much closer game than you think.
Okay.
Yeah, Georgia has owned the series. I mean, I don't know that Kirby Smart has lost to Georgia. Maybe, I mean, I lost to Auburn. He might have lost to them one or two years, but I mean, they've won 8 or 9 straight games against Auburn. It's one of these teams. I think 2 years ago when this game was played, Brock Bowers was in for Georgia, and Brock Bowers took the game over and basically won the game for Georgia. I go back this to Auburn. Auburn has the football players. I know y'all get sick of hearing me say that. They have got the football players. Can Hugh Freeze and his staff get the freaking guys the football? And if they have done some self-evaluation over some game situations with this quarterback, Wendy, I just think Auburn can keep this game a little bit closer. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that Georgia can really blow anybody out. I don't know that they have the offense to blow anybody out, to be honest with you. I like a closer game. It's going to be hard for me to pick Auburn. It would be crazy to think Georgia got beat. But I'll tell you what. Give me the surprise of the year in the Auburn Tigers.
Whoa! No!
Beating the Georgia Bulldogs.
Barry's going to divorce you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You're not going to have any good friends left.
Auburn will shock the college football world late on Saturday night. Hey, and with that, y'all, we're going to have to jump off here. Tell me what y'all's plans are this weekend. Chris, we'll start with you.
We're going to the beach, watching the Dodgers tonight, leaving in the morning. Let's go Dodgers, please.
Yes.
Get this over with. And then I leave for San Francisco on Monday from the beach for a week, and I'll be home Friday.
Where are you watching the game then? I go at the beach.
At the beach.
Gotcha.
What beach are y'all going to?
We're just going to Sandestin.
Okay, cool.
That'll be fun.
Cool. Wendy, what you got this weekend?
I'm waking up at 10 o'clock in the morning, turning on football and watching football all day. But real quick, so we do not forget, the best in the world is having a birthday on Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, October 12th is Mommy B's birthday. Happy birthday to our mom. We love you. You're our biggest supporter. You always leave comments. You always like. We love you so much. We cannot wait to spend time with you. But happy birthday, Mama. We love you.
Happy birthday. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday. Mom did leave a message. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time, Mom. We're not going to be able to get to play it, but we love you. Happy birthday. We will catch up with y'all next week. Everybody out there that listens, especially who? Is it Justin, Wendy? Is that his name?
Yeah, Justin and Joyce from Pensacola. They live Zoe's parents, yes.
JJ's.
The JJ's.
Zoe's parents. Thank y'all for listening. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. Roll Tide. Hope y'all have a great weekend. Finally, some cooler weather. Y'all be careful out there, and I will see you guys later.
Roll Tide. Good luck with Barry, Trey.
Chris, right, thank time. You. Chris, thanks for coming on, man. I love it when you come on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. See y'all later.
Later.
Love you.